missed you. Welcome to From the Fryer. I'm Ellie.
This is Leon. God, it has been a while, hasn't it?
Too long.
This is going to be another double episode.
Today we're covering 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 3, Episode 9, and Episode 10. They were good ones.
Yeah, I liked it. A lot of progress is being made, which I'm always a fan of. I'm not a fan when we're kind of, it seems like we're in a lull with a relationship or a couple. Mm-hmm. A lot of different couples have made movements, or I should say progressions in their story, whether it's Armando and Kenny with their wedding, or Jenny and Submit with the family situation. A lot.
Just to stop you there, you know I don't do good with poop or vomit, so the sounds are killing me.
Oh, I know. That was something I've never seen in my life.
No, and it seems very violent to the body.
Yeah, they seem like they were in pain. I wonder if there's examples of that where it's not, it doesn't look so grueling.
I just don't feel like shoving anything through your sinuses to your mouth forcefully. Like, not, it's always going to be painful, in my opinion. It's causing them to bleed.
Oh, that was gross.
Why can't you just do a neti pot? That's at least like water, and it's going to kind of form to your sinuses and your mouth as to where this tube is just like being rammed through.
Maybe it doesn't clean enough.
Man, if anything, I would think that would make you susceptible to infections.
Although now I have a temptation to get a neti pot so I can try it.
I get sinus infections every year. You can try it on me. Okay, we hope you all are having a good Day of the Dead that is celebrated yesterday and today. So we hope you are remembering your loved ones and having a good day and kind of reflecting on celebrating the lives of those who have passed before us. I know not everyone believes in that, but if you do, I hope you're having a good day and remembering your loved ones fondly. And if not, I hope you're having a good Tuesday. I have no life updates. How about you? We talked about our trip and everything a lot on the last episode on the MAFS feed.
The trip was definitely one of the main ones. Lately, it's just been getting back to our routines or new routines.
Leon's first day at a new job was yesterday, so that's another part of the reason. Like, things have been kind of hectic. It was come back from the trip and immediately get ready.
I'm getting the usual feelings that I think everyone gets when starting a new role. It's, do I know anything? Did I make the right decision? Oh my gosh, there's so much to learn. There's so many tools in this location. It just, it's totally normal, and I'm sure everyone experiences the same thing, but I'm just taking it day by day, and it should be an exciting journey.
Also, Leon was super quiet after work yesterday and just sitting on the couch, and I was like, oh no, what's wrong?
I think my brain was trying to process everything.
Exactly. You were just like, I'm thinking, and I was like, oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's a lot to process.
Also, it's the first time he's regularly been going into the office since, like, 2019.
Even that, if you think about it, even that is a huge mental shift.
Yeah.
I have not, before this, had not gone into the office to this amount.
Like, consistently.
Since everyone went in lockdown way back in March.
Also, it's full days. Because even when you went in your last position, you would still go to the office, but you would just go in to do a task. So it'd be like an hour or two.
Part of my job, sometimes you need to do, some of it's, you know, software and remote and you can connect to things, but some of it requires hands-on or doing some kind of a physical connection or something that requires you to be there, essentially. And in my previous role, that could have been just a quick trip. Like, you know, you go up, go in there, you do what you need to do. It might be an hour or two. And then, you know, you just go home. There's like nobody in the building. Now that, you know, sort of I'm new and I'm getting acquainted to things, I'm spending, you know, the entire day there learning from people, getting instruction and tips, getting acclimated to everything.
New desk.
But now that I think about that, because I'm taking this first week as very much like, I need to spend as much time with these individuals, like face to face. And they're giving me that time, which is great because they're coming in too, maybe on days where they wouldn't come in. But I think it's also changing my mentality of, wow, I have not been in the office in a very, very long time. So that coupled with it's also a new role, I think is kind of like,
it's a lot.
It just puts a lot of things in your mind of just things to think about.
I'm at the same job, grinding away.
That's but totally fine.
I started to tell myself that whatever I can get done in my normal hours is all that I should do.
Right.
Why am I putting it? I'm salary. I'm putting in 12-hour days.
Right. And they
do. It's rough.
I remember initially when folks were going work from home, there was like articles and advice coming from individuals that have been work from home for a very long time about separating the work. It is hard just because You take your laptop anywhere in the house, things
but
like that.
But I'm super thankful now that we have a spare room that we have made an office, because the people that are doing it, like, in their bedroom, like, we're on Zoom calls and we can see people's bedrooms. I can't imagine having to go in there at the end of the day to relax and go to bed.
Right.
Personally,
I think one of the tips is sort of breaking that, you know, having that disconnection time between work and, you know, your area of living.
Yeah. Like, I don't go in that room unless I'm working, yeah, basically. I've heard of, and we're really lucky to have that.
I've heard of folks, even what they do is they take walks to time their commutes.
Oh, that'd be
so
nice.
They would walk in the morning to sort of get into work mode. And then maybe at the end of the day, they'd take a walk and sort of get out of work mode. For me now, it's more real because I tried taking the public transit today, which went totally fine. And that was actually a cool, like, remove yourself from work time. It would have been the same if I drove, but...
But you don't have to pay for parking if you take the bus, so that's nice.
Yeah, it's much cheaper.
But enough work talk. You're probably listening to this to not think about work. So sorry about that.
Yeah, apologies.
Just life updates tend to be very work-related right now. If you want to hear about our trip, definitely kind of tune into the beginning of the MAFS episode. We go into much more detail there. But we won't bore listeners also tuning in for this with essentially the same story. So the way we're going to kind of format this episode is we will do it couple by couple, combining both episode 9 and 10 instead of covering all of 9 and then going back and covering all of 10. It made more sense in my head to do it by couple versus episode, so I hope you don't mind. Starting with Corey and Evelyn, we see Corey kind of moved into his own apartment. He only lasted a week at Raul's house, and he is making Evelyn a lunch of her favorite hamburgers.
He was
struggling.
He was struggling, and part of the burger started breaking up, and maybe he doesn't have everything he needs when he's used to making burgers, but it was cool to see the effort.
But my whole thing is, why doesn't he? Because he is the one that was planning this.
Right. It was cool to see the effort. I think...
I can appreciate effort.
Yeah, definitely. But Evelyn is so... Her face is so mean. There's like no appreciation for what he's doing.
No. She'll never...
I'm always curious, like, Corey found someone so fast.
He did.
I guess he must really be in love with her to just be fighting so hard to just get that back, even though he didn't.
Even though it's awful.
Yeah.
Do you think Evelyn wants this relationship to work? Do you think, so we find out later on that they're going to therapy and the such, and do you think she really is interested in working on herself to make this work long run, or she just wants to punish Corey for as long as she possibly can?
I think, for as mean as she may betray or we think she is, I think she does want it to work, because there is a time when folks are definitely in love and times are happy, and she probably wants that to come back. And he, you know,
ever happy, though? All episodes have just been shit.
Yeah, I think even since the inception when we saw her in
Washington. Was it ever that good? Yeah, she was not happy there. She wasn't happy with him coming there. When he moved there, she didn't even go get him at the bus station.
That's a good point.
I'm sorry, I'm not leaving dry.
No, but the devil's advocate in me is saying... We only get to see a sliver of their life. We get to see such a small window of what they do on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure there's a lot of really good times there.
We haven't seen many.
But it's, from what the show portrays, it's probably hard to believe that.
So she starts in pretty quickly. Why do you have another bed? How many girls are you going to invite over here? Also, why would there be another bed if he's inviting girls over? There would be no need. So you're just trying to talk shit to talk shit.
Ah. He's inviting too many girls over. Needs extra bed.
So she says that they kind of need help to work on things and she wants them to go to a therapist. And she says she'll make the appointment, but you're going to pay for it. He's like, of course.
Oh, I mean, she's not going to pay for it.
No.
I'm
honestly, a theme between episode 9 and 10 is her just telling Corey that he needs to pay for stuff.
Their life is interesting to me because Corey went down there with some savings. I don't know. We don't know how many, but he had some.
I don't think much.
He had some savings. He got some land for the bar. They worked the bar, but then COVID. So I don't know if they're actually working the bar for a certain time. But then he has to pay for, unless they own the home she lives in.
They probably do.
Yeah, they probably own it. Maybe it was their parents' land. I don't know. But then he's paying for rent at a... apartment, probably supporting her. I'm always curious of like how they sustain, but I mean, they must be able to.
Yeah. And I've said it before. I feel like their money is truly their money. They're both earning it from the bar.
Right.
So it's interesting that he has to, quote, air fingers, pay for everything. Because I really do think it's both of theirs money.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But I think that's funny. Her making him pay for it is kind of just very Evelyn-like.
It's very Evelyn.
She's using her, or flexing. It's a hard flex.
Yeah. Just fine. I'm willing to do this one thing, but you're at least going to pay for it. I'm not going to work on this for free. Yeah. So we see kind of in the following days, they do meet up with the therapist, and we see again, Evelyn is just going right for it. She immediately calls Jenny a whore again. I don't see why she always has to call her a whore. That like totally discredits you and your whatever you're going through to me.
She didn't even know. I don't think she knew. Wait, she found out eventually. I think Corey told her eventually.
Well, yeah, that's what this whole fight is. This whole current fight is. He finally came clean. After again lying to her and saying that he was going to get a job.
Yeah, I think her hate is kind of pointed toward the wrong person.
I agree. Because as soon as she found out, she was like, go back to your wife.
Yeah.
Go talk to her. Go tell her what has been going on. Poor girl. Just living her life.
Yeah.
She tells the therapist that Corey stopped putting in any effort after they got married.
I'm not buying that.
I feel like he's always put in minimal effort. Is that bad?
You think he's put in minimal effort?
I think so. Because what is... I mean, she kind of had this thing of you need to learn Spanish, you need to become acclimated, and
he knows, like, a decent amount of Spanish.
He does know a decent amount.
I don't know if I'm buying that. Minimal effort, maybe in her eyes?
Okay, let's say that. Yes, in her eyes.
Maybe for goals she was expecting him to hit or something of that nature, maybe, but... I mean, it's not easy to move to another country, and especially when you can't communicate to most people. That's got to be tough.
I guess, okay. So I'm saying minimal effort, but maybe I mean, like you said, in her eyes. But also, what were the goals? Simply the language, or was there more than that? Because they opened this bar together. Big deal, I think. Owning a business.
Their relationship has been almost like in flux because they got married, but they weren't really happy at the time. But they needed to do it, I think, for his visa.
I have much to say about that.
Yeah, I guess they've been going through a lot for a long time. And maybe this is what Evelyn talks about, how you've been checked out as far as we've been so rocky for so long. It probably feels like someone's been checked out or just not putting in effort because she's thinking, if you've been putting in effort, we wouldn't have all these issues. We wouldn't sort of be in this bad state.
But I hate the lack of self-reflection. Why does everyone else have to do something? What are you doing to make this relationship better or to make him feel better or to help him acclimate?
I think I'm rubbing off on you.
How so?
The self-reflection. How like folks never, no. Or they don't, you know, think about outside of them.
Yeah.
In a situation.
Or just being empathetic and being in someone else's shoes. That's the problem here. I mean,
no, Evelyn, it's her way or the highway.
Yeah. Evelyn says she doesn't feel important anymore to the point where when she had her car accident, he would rather stay with a whore than come be with her. She says that he is the only person that she reached out to. Eh.
Eh.
What was he supposed to do? So you tell him you hate him, you don't want him around, that you don't love him, and then he's supposed to come running back?
She's like, I'm hurt, come back.
That makes absolutely no sense. I do not blame him for not coming back. I blame him for coming back now. He shouldn't have even done this.
Part of me is always thinking like, man, but he's still married. Like,
I forgot you were hard on that
is
line.
Like, it pulls me one way just because they're still married.
Okay, they're still married, but she kicked him out and did all this. So, okay, here's where I get annoyed. She likes to throw that in his face now and say, we were married. Yeah, we were separated. Yeah, I yelled at you, but we were married. But when they got married and when they were recently talking to her parents, she said, you know, wasn't sure if she wanted to be married. It basically means nothing to her. It's nothing that she ever wanted. Mm-hmm. So why is marriage this big holy thing when it's convenient for her?
That's true. I mean, if we're married, how can you dismiss me so easily?
Yeah, it's two ways.
I see.
Why does the marriage mean something to you now when you can use it as leverage, but not before when it was supposedly just for love?
I feel like I have lost this battle because you brought up a great point that that should also account for her when she's kicking him out, essentially, even though they're a married couple. They should be trying to work. That moment wouldn't have even happened if you didn't basically shun him away.
Yes. But again, when it's convenient, they're married and it's a very important thing to her. He admits the truth at the end of the therapy session and comes clean about how he was hanging out with Jenny very quickly after the after he left Evelyn's. And he admitted that in the Instagram video, that was Jenny asking for, I think it was wine, when he said originally, oh, there's no girls here. There's no one here.
Lies. I feel like guys are the worst liars.
You and your species are.
we're the worst liars.
In the next episode, we see that Evelyn said the couple's counseling session went really well, and the best part for her was when Corey admitted he was wrong. She says that he has to put in 100 times more effort now.
That's so unrealistic, but it's almost like she speaks in the, like, it's too much, but I get it. I get the objective there, is to just make him push, like, further than he's pushed before.
I mean, sure. I it's just all so confusing. Her wants are so confusing. She doesn't want him around, but when she's in a car accident, she needs him. And then now they're arguing so much. And then she's like, well, now you have to try even harder to impress me. And then he agrees with her because he will do literally anything.
He's
going
to say yeah to whatever he needs to do to make it work.
She says that he can move into the room next to hers and pay half the rent.
And he's like, of course, of course.
Yes. Oh, my God. Do you think she...
like using him?
Maybe. Stringing him along? Do you think she's with him because it's convenient?
Well, it does seem like there's convenient things about it. I mean, he's paying half the rent. He's got to support the bar. Also, yeah. Who manages that during all this turmoil? Like, what is going on?
I have no idea. It just seems really convenient. I'm not saying there's not feelings there, but...
I'm also wondering
would a local guy put up with this?
I'm just wondering if... we're going to find out next episode. He sleeps in the next room for like a day. And it's just back
well, they're going to have their movie nights.
And it's just back to normal.
Alina and Steve. Why does Steven need to take snacks with him everywhere he goes?
When I was watching this, he kept getting like more and more. Like yeah. He went somewhere else and he went and got like a apple. Yep.
And then it was like chips and cookies. And like he was packing this backpack full of snacks.
In my head, I was thinking this has got to be like a 20-minute ride. Like, why does he need all these fucking snacks?
Maybe I'm jealous because I can't snack. I'll gain like 10 pounds.
Oh, Steven's like a solid 120. But then it was weird because he tried to offer it to the driver.
Yeah, and then also is just like shoving chips in his mouth and pouring the bag in his mouth. Yeah, Poor mom. That was her sending off was well, just
then Steven she's probably thinking, I cannot fucking believe my daughter's it to this guy.
Yeah, she has to be wondering why. Of everyone in the world, why him? And this is after everything that she learned and how he just picks and chooses what to believe in and...
lie to his daughter.
Yep.
Lie to her daughter.
And then she just has to go home. There's no resolution. God, and then Alina's going to call home and be like, well, I'm engaged to this guy.
I said, Mom, guess what? He proposed and I said, yeah. You know, we'll save that for later.
I hate that Steven seemingly teases Alina.
How so?
The Turkish bath.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about this earlier where you kind of imagine someone that's kind of going through his faith and like dating principles and...
he's already fucked like 4, 5, 6, 7 people.
Right. But you'd think you'd stay away from temptation?
Yes, but it almost seems like he's playing into it. Like, oh, we're going to be bad and we're going to do this kind of intimate thing, but we're not going to go all the way.
It was kind of interesting to take her to a Turkish bath, but... I don't want to try it. I mean, you know, there'd be something I want to try.
But you're also not practicing a faith that would really, I feel like, frown upon that.
Right. Two unmarried folks, yeah.
Are you allowed to be super flirty in the Mormon church? We'll talk about it in detail later. But like those flirty texts or staying the night over at a girl's house, can you do those things? Or is everything a free-for-all as long as you don't have sex?
Yeah, that's my thinking. Maybe you're so deprived of some things that you almost have to take the other things to the absolute limit but not break the rules.
But he's already broken the rules. He's probably actively, like, when he's spending the night at these girls' house.
Oh, I'm sure. But we don't know that, so I gotta take it at face value.
I guess.
Well, we actually do know that he slept with other women, but, you know.
He confirmed it and made out with, what, like, 100?
Yeah, apparently.
Yep.
Don't really know how Steven finds 100 out with, but...
No. But, again, we'll just take his word. Steven is surprised that Alina asked him to delete his social media, as if she would just forget.
Yeah, he was wondering, like, she's still on that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's still on
it that. It was, dude. Like, a couple days ago. He came up with every excuse why he could not delete it right then. I need to contact my family. I need time to let them know. But we see he clearly has WhatsApp, so there's no reason he can't contact his family. Then he needs to save all of his pictures, and that's going to take a really long time.
Yeah, this Wi-Fi be okay, slow. We'll do.
Yeah, oh, and the Wi-Fi's so slow in this park. I like that she met him with, all right, let's go home. Let's go home right now. I found at that moment it to be so uncomfortable that he followed her and placed his hand on her arm saying, baby, baby, baby. I don't know why that creeped me out so much. I mean, they're in a relationship. Touching happens. It just felt very, I need to control this.
From his standpoint, it's probably like, it's like the touch of, maybe my touch will calm you down.
Maybe. I took it as very, I'm controlling this.
I'm controlling the situation.
Yes. Fast forward a little bit. We see Masha and Alina talking, and Masha lets her know that that Steven has sent a new flirty message. Not good. Masha asked, how often are you there during the winter in terms of Utah or in regards to Utah? Steven says, why wait until winter? I'm in Turkey now. Grab your bathing suit. Winky face. Why are you sending winky faces to anyone that you're not dating?
Do you think Steven was getting like a backup plan ready?
Yep, absolutely. I think Alina was a backup plan to the other girls he was with.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I didn't really connect that, but
because even up
maybe
to,
he's feeling this one go a little south and he's thinking, well,
yep, on to the next.
On to the next one.
And we see how well that works on maps. All these people that are just serial daters. Doesn't work out.
No, it doesn't. And you're also like half into the relationship if you kind of think like that. But you know, part of me, as we keep talking about the episode, I think Steven is in the relationship. He just makes really immature decisions.
I don't even think he's that in it.
Oh, wow. I think so.
Alina finally brings up that Masha is a plant, that she set Steven up. And Steven's response was, we didn't even really talk. I'm offended that you don't trust me. Why would she trust you? You have done everything wrong. And your previous kind of hookups, I don't even want to call them relationships, overlapped with your relationship with Alina.
It was kind of fascinating that he questions that. How could she not trust him?
When there's many reasons.
You've almost had to come out with all of these lies that you've been telling her this entire trip.
Yeah. Like, every day was a new shitty revelation. They finally go back to the apartment, and Alina gets to see the messages before he deletes them. And there's various messages of
want to see the messages?
I would, because I'm nosy and I would want to know, but I know that it's going to do nothing to help me.
Yeah.
But I would totally, like, even though it's going to hurt me, hell yeah, show me those messages.
Yeah, okay.
So I know what a piece of shit you are.
you want the fire.
Yeah, and just, I want to know the truth, even though it's going to be painful. Because in her situation, where you'd be like, oh, something happened in the past that doesn't affect us right now, we're doing super well, they're not doing super well. And so that affects them right now.
Yeah, definitely.
She comes across the messages, and it's him talking to one of his girlfriends, asking if he's going to come over tonight. And asking if he's going to stay the night, saying cute names, and at one point he even says that he loves her. Not a good look.
You should not be having these kind of conversations with friends.
No.
Not to this level.
And not especially to this level. You can have girlfriends.
Not asking if he could spend the night?
Don't stay the night. You're in a relationship. Don't stay the night. That's weird. You're a single dude. That's really go weird. For it. That's but really you're not. I've said this before. So, like, when we're hanging out with friends and some of your guy friends, like, say we go out to a bar. Oh, say bye, everyone. Love you guys. Talk to you later. But man, there's never a time when I'm just like in a text, like, I love you. See you later. I don't know. It's more of a like a verbal thing. I don't really.
Yeah.
Having like, a text like of that wanna, almost feels.
You want to sort of, you're just trying to show someone that you care about them, but not in a come stay the night.
I love you. None of that. And it's weird because I don't know. Like I tell people I love them, the opposite sex. It's not a big deal. But for some reason, the way he does it just seems so much more weird. I think it's just because the context of, again, like you say, staying the night. And this poor girl looks like she just got punched in the stomach. She did not need, again, a daily revelation of what an asshole Steven is.
It was sad. It made me like, it, just seeing her face in that moment, just so, almost like very warm and sad and that raw emotion.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really sad scene to watch.
He then, do you think he deleted or deactivated his Facebook account?
You think deactivated? Because she was right there and staring at him. I would say delete.
Okay. I think even if he deleted it, he reactivated it like a week later.
He recovered it or something.
Yeah, like immediately. And then they go out for ice cream because he's 12.
I think he was trying to do anything he could at that moment to like save the relationship.
To just not be in the apartment with the social media talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Change the topic of conversation. Do anything. Get her mind off of it. Here's some ice cream.
We found out that he strategically brought a bunch of gifts to give her during moments that would be impactful, which now we're finding out impactful moments is just all these multiple times he has to say he's sorry.
He's like, these are gifts for when I fuck up.
Yep. That's how it felt. I don't know if that's what he meant, but that's exactly how it felt.
Initially, I was like, he probably meant these in more happy moments.
He got her a Book of Mormon. A floral Book of Mormon. It was a special Book of Mormon. She ate it right up. She loved it.
She really did. I did not think she's so gonna young. Be. I did not think she was gonna be into it. She's like,
no, and she totally loved it.
I thought her
it.
Reaction was gonna be
like, what the fuck is this?
You've only told me of how you haven't believed in, you know, the commandments or what.
You don't practice what you preach.
Exactly. And the one thing you do is give me a book about your culture.
But then she was like, this
or your religion,
great.
I should say. It's kind of odd timing.
Too young.
20.
She needs 20. To date.
She's 20 years old. That is very young.
The next day, or an undisclosed amount of time later, he charters a boat to take him and Alina to view some waterfalls. We find out that this is when he's going to propose. I did not see this coming throughout the season. Of course, the last couple episodes, I think it was hinted at, but I did not see this coming this season at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish it wasn't happening, just to clarify.
Oh, I am surprised we're getting to see any of this.
Oh, and the wedding, Kenny and Armando's wedding. Like, I can't believe we're getting to see so much of what's going on.
Yep.
So, we also found out he rented a piano somehow and somehow got it up these very narrow stairs. And how the hell are they staying up there?
Initially, I thought somehow this is like a boat you could rent. It just happens to have a piano on it.
No, that was a separate thing. And I don't know how this has to be the crew helped him out. Because this guy is not getting a piano down to the dock and then lifting it up and then getting up there.
You think it was the crew?
Yes, absolutely. Steven could not pull this off himself. Also, I want to know the logistics of how to keep the piano up. Is it bolted in? Do we have like tie downs? Are there straps? There has to be something. This thing isn't just sitting there as it's floating away.
A lot of things you can put like brakes, like you can step on there, like they have like
but then how's it just not toppling?
I'm
thinking far too much about it.
Maybe the waters are nice and calm.
I mean, it didn't look that bad.
Yeah. So he's practicing singing he's writing a song.
Mm-hmm.
Then he asked the captain to sort of play as Alina, which the captain has rough English.
So he's like playing charades and trying to speak real slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not needed.
And he does the whole proposal, and the captain's like, great. He's
yes.
like, would you say yes? He's like, great. And yeah, we move on.
This poor captain was like, please just let me do my job. Don't ask me anything. So they finally make it to the waterfall. Steven kind of prompts Alina to go up to the top for a better view. And that's where he plays the piano, sings the song he wrote, and then gets on one knee. And she was so happy.
Oh, the whole moment was eating it up. And I will say the spot was really cool.
It was very beautiful. She says, now I see his real personality. No, girl. His real personality was all those times he disappointed you and lied to you. This
way too many red flags.
Yep.
No way.
And she's just pushed him out of the way. So they're engaged. And now she has to call her mom. Be with this poor man forever.
I'm really excited to see how the mom takes it, how Steven's parents take it, if he tells them or we get to see them.
Well, yeah, we've never heard of Steven's parents at all. There's never even been a phone call with them.
Are they going to tell them or are they going to interview them about Steven's past issues or
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just going to say, we're not going to answer questions about that.
Do you want a spoiler about them?
Sure.
Oh, not? Do you? Because you're usually anti-spoiler.
Why not?
Okay. Okay, spoiler, go ahead, like 2 minutes, whoever doesn't want the spoiler. A couple of weeks ago on Reddit, they were spotted in Greece together. They're still together.
Oh, Alina and Steven? Mm-hmm. In Greece?
Yes.
Wow.
I want to live this life. How do I do it? Where is this money coming from?
You got to get on 90 Day. Get that 90 Day money.
It would just be like how Ellie doesn't make it in the relationship.
Yeah, except you wouldn't even make it on the flight.
No, like, nah. I'm over this. I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to go home now. All right, let's move on to Ari and Binny. A lot happened here, too. So Ari has been in New Jersey for a couple of weeks and will be there for another month for Avi's surgery. We really get a glimpse into kind of how much her and Binny are struggling. They do not do well long distance. Binny is turning off his phone for hours at a time. He's not calling.
It seems like they have little to no communication.
It definitely
in this
is.
Time frame.
Yes. And that's pretty much the problem.
It's pretty sad.
It is.
I'm just sad for the family and just the... Again, we only get to see a glimpse, but if it's true, I mean, man, don't you want to see...
I mean, we find out some real good evidence.
Don't you
want to
see your son?
Episode.
You know, you'd want to see your son every day and see how he's growing, see how he's recovering.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the child is there for surgery. It's not a vacation. You should be very present as much as you can. Technology's amazing now. We have video calls.
Yeah, if you know, we're kind of taking what Ari's saying and what folks reported or heard, it seems
like... That's next episode. We'll talk about it.
All right, so, pump the brakes a little bit.
First argument that we see between Ari and Binny is Ari sitting in a bunk bed in a room in her parents' house arguing with Binny, and there was a line that stuck out to me that really bothered me, and she said, look at all the things I've done for you. Tell me one thing that you've done for me. That's weird. Because if you're arguing about a phone being off,
sure.
What does that have to do with anything? Why are you throwing anything that you've done in his face right now?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe she just came to the argument with some ammo and just kind of let it all out, even if it wasn't...
Like it's a deep-seated issue,
yeah,
like a
yeah,
deep,
like it
something that bothers her.
Even if
her.
It wasn't referencing this discussion, it was inside of her and she just wanted to let it out.
It can be argued that Ari's parents have done more for Binny than Ari has done for Binny.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I quickly will be stopped talking shit about Ari because Binny's in the wrong. In the next episode. Yeah, so let me just get that out now because this quickly changes for me later. His argument was he did not turn off his phone. He put it on flight mode.
She's like, you put it on flight mode for like hours? Come
yeah.
on, fam.
Also, how's that any different than turning it off?
She's like, essentially
you're
the same
using
thing.
Other features then and then just not using the features that I can contact you with? How convenient. Okay. My notes are very Team Binny the first episode, and I almost feel like I got to take it back because,
oh my
man, episode 10 was scaling.
Oh my gosh.
But episode 9, I wrote, she's really complaining about Binny being with his friends and spending time with his family, but you just brought your ex-husband to Ethiopia and he stayed in your house.
Oh.
Again, this
oh
tune
God,
changes a
turn
lot.
So fast.
She says in her interview that Binny is hiding something. But I also couldn't take that seriously because she hid the fact that last time she came to New Jersey, she stayed with her ex in his apartment for multiple days.
Yep.
So she hid that, and Binny almost wasn't allowed to make that a big deal. We never talked about that again. Binny's friend says that Binny has additional laws. There's the Constitution, the Ten Commandments, and Ari's orders.
Oh my god.
These friends are not helping the situation.
No,
they're not like, oh, get
no,
along
no,
for
no,
your
no,
kid. They're like very anti-Ari, very
but
pro-Binny.
They mentioned, I mean, all his friends, they're like single. They're
yes,
they're on
they're,
a different they're on a different vibe.
Well,
than a
they're
married
either
man
single
with a kid.
Or they don't give a shit about what their wife thinks and they're gonna go out anyway. So they might as well be
sure,
single.
Sure.
Which I try to keep like cultural norms in the back of my head, but that's probably frustrating to those wives as well. Maybe it's just more accepted.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. Like, we can't really speak on their culture. Like,
exactly. So I don't want to say that's crazy
yeah,
if that's
if, I mean, what if
not
that, yeah, what
there.
If that's the norm there. We don't know.
So always keep that in the back of your mind. Ari and her mom made a deal that all medical procedures would be done in the States.
Oh, and then her sister pipes up.
I do not like her sister. You know, I kind of went back on that last time we talked about it a few episodes ago, where you kind of talked me out of it.
Well, her sister basically says that medical situations are going to come up all the time with like a young kid.
Exactly.
You know, you're better off just coming back. You know, they're really trying to reel her in.
I mean, they do live like in Princeton. So she's saying, you know, amazing medical care is just down the street. I find her very annoying. We find out, though, that Benny is using their house as a party house. He's put away Avi's items, including his bed. He has people in his and Ari's bed. And people
Did we get a confirmation of that?
Essentially.
In the house. They're partying.
We essentially have confirmation of that because his iPhone is synced to the cloud. She's getting all photos he's taken, all texts that he's getting. And we find out towards the end of the episode that his friends and family are contacting her to let her know what's going on at the house.
It's gotta be real bad for his family to be hitting her up.
Wish does not like her.
Yeah.
And she is telling her what her brother is doing.
He's like, our boy fucking up.
Yeah. And he probably doesn't give a shit. I mean, you know they probably went to him first. They're close.
So what, he's just in party mode, just enjoying his life?
Sounds like absolute party mode.
That's really sad.
It's super sad because I'm always Team Benny. And now, like, man, these are some true colors coming out.
Yeah.
He
doesn't even seem that defensive.
He had no... Anytime she brought it up, because there was a few phone calls that we got to see over the two episodes, he did not have a response for basically anything that she brought up. In the last phone call we see in episode 10, Ari just straight up says it. I'm not coming back to Ethiopia. And it almost feels like he was preparing for this. Like, while he's upset, I honestly thought this would break him. But, yeah, he was upset, but I don't know. Do you think he was mentally preparing for this? I mean, as soon as she left, is he like, oh, she's probably not coming back. And so I'm just going to fucking party. I'm going to take my mind off of that. I mean, even that might be giving him too much. Because you could do other things besides partying to keep your mind off of
I mean, that. Even the way he explained some things, I'm not fully buying. I mean, I know his friends could see that, oh, he's down, his family's gone.
Yeah, we saw at the holiday, they said, you know, like, let's celebrate.
Let's cheer him up. Yeah, I get that, but, I mean, I don't know, are you letting people stay in the house and just getting super drunk and then that's passing out?
That's what it sounds
out?
Like,
I mean, that's not...
Women texting him saying, hey, do you remember me from the club the other night?
Yeah, that's a little much. And okay, so you're going to clubbing, you're dancing with people, maybe you're obviously passing out your number.
There's clearly photos of women in the house, and you have people calling and saying this is going on. I couldn't do it. I don't blame her at all for... Like, I understand she made this promise, but, I mean, a promise is also based on certain things. He can't do whatever he wants. And then expect her to keep her word when he didn't keep his. Yeah, he didn't make an explicit promise to say, I won't cheat on you, I won't party, I won't have strangers in the home. But, I mean, those things are implied.
I mean, that's marriage for you.
Yeah. There's just really no defending him at this point. I want to say, oh, he's dealing with all these emotions and the traumaticness of what happened in his last relationship. But...
So Ari comes out guns blazing, right? During this conversation.
She's just, very clear. She's
going in on him. And Benny sort of starts... He's kind of countering a little bit by saying, like, how do you think you can just make these decisions on your own? Like, this is our family. You know, this is our kid. Well, I mean, yeah, she's a mother of a child. I get that. And it's a... You want the best for your kid. And if you're like, well, you are not providing the best for our kid right now and you're partying, like, I'm not going to go over there. I'm not going back
there.
What
would she come back to?
Even her middle ground, I think, was actually giving a lot.
I think that was giving a lot, too. So the middle ground, the compromise she was willing to make was, let's go to Kenya. Get rid of everything that's kind of toxic in Ethiopia that's dragging kind of you down and this relationship down. Let's go to where Avi was conceived. Didn't even know that.
That was weird. But, okay.
And just kind of start over there. And honestly, that's probably more than I would have given him. He really threw that relationship away.
Well, she basically says, you're going to do that or I'm just not.
Or that's it.
I'm
yeah.
I'm just not going back. I mean, do you want to give the viewers a spoiler at home? I mean, they might follow along with...
I think everyone already knows it already. Well, let's talk about how on the next time on, we see that they do go to Kenya.
Yep.
But Janice is there. And that's super weird to me.
Well, I mentioned while we were watching it, I'm like, well, someone has to watch the kiddo.
I guess. I mean, it is probably nice, but at the same time, I feel like that adds a pressure.
Not only pressure, but, I mean, unless you fears Binyam, he's always sort of outnumbered.
Yeah.
And he's outnumbered again in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to talk him into either being okay with them bringing his kid back to the States, which to him is, again, is going to be a gut punch. He's like, I'm sure he's going to feel like he's losing another child.
Let's say in an ideal world, he throws himself at work or something. I don't know. He takes up hobbies, whatever, makes music. Mm. I don't know. But is being an all around like good guy while she's gone. Do you think that she would have came back? No problem.
Yeah, no, I think if he was being like an exceptional husband, mm-hmm. communicating, you know, saying, hey, can't wait for you guys to come back.
Yeah.
You know, the house is all ready for you. I think it'd be a lot way easier to come back.
I think but so too.
That I say that, but her family's doing a really good job of that. The voices in her ear just kind of, hey, it's so great here. Look how comfortable it is. Oh, good
Lord, that sister.
Yeah, look at the doctors we have here. The medical care.
Yeah. Look how much support they you have.
You know, your family's here. We can support you. She probably talks about how his sisters don't like him or something.
Yeah.
And don't like her. Maybe they'll whisper that in her ear of, they don't even like you over there.
Yeah.
You'll have a stronger support system here.
Yeah.
That, I'm sure, could be really tough. Like, why would you... It's almost like actively embracing a hardship with a child. That would be tough to come back to. Okay, now do you want to spoil it for the fans?
Okay, so spoiler, like a minute, and I'm sure everyone already knows this. If you listen to other podcasts or you check out the Reddit board, Binyam came here somehow. Binyam and Ari were in New York, and they were filming, so they must have been doing something.
Or did he move here? Did he get a K-1 or something?
I have no idea. So I'm very curious of kind of how he got a visa of some sort. Is it through... Did they end up getting married? I don't know.
And we don't... They might want to skip ahead. Like, well, it's already too late, but...
skipping ahead.
I mean, they may have just been in this process for a long time.
Well, they said 7 months ago that they applied for the K-1.
And just didn't hear back.
Yeah.
Because just everything going down.
Exactly.
That would be interesting if then they did get a call back and saying, hey, that was approved. You can go whenever. And it kind of just worked out to... Well,
and I assume in that case that they're going to be on 90 day. What standard. Is it before the 90?
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Like whatever the other spinoff will be that they will be. But yeah, I'm super bummed. I usually see Benny's side and I can't take his side here.
Yeah, I can't either. Just acting like that as a husband and a dad is just, it's too much. I wonder if he lost all the fans. He's breaking the fans' heart.
Maybe. I don't know, I'm not so much of a Binyam stan that I would be like, take his side no matter what, because this is pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up.
Jenny and Sumit. Probably my favorite segments of both weeks.
These are actually really hard to watch.
They're sad.
They're really sad.
So I understand that people really don't like Jenny, but man, just having someone talk like that to your face, I do feel bad.
Well, then they're just... the way she's instructing her and just, or, you know, just watching this woman get put to the ringer and, you know, she's not like a young, you know, spring chicken, like
Jenny's... Also, Sumit constantly leaving and not translating pisses me off.
He must just leave and go talk to his dad or something. Yeah. He's like, let's go do the manly thing and sit here and talk or something. I don't know. I guess. But
Jenny and Sumit's mom are in the kitchen. She's going to teach her how to make all Sumit's favorites. I don't know. Be a proper Indian... daughter-in-law and cook things, and she's just talking shit to her face the mad entire shit. Time. I cannot imagine.
Well, it'd be funny if Jenny just knew some of the language.
I wish that would she's be great.
Like, you better stop talking shit. And the mom's like, oh fuck.
After all the shit talking in the kitchen, we sit down with everyone in the living room, and it's really interesting to me that Sumit's parents talk about their social circle and how much they're going to make fun of Jenny, but they're on a TV show. Why are they doing the show then? If they're so concerned about their social life and how they will be portrayed and how Jenny's ruining their social life, I feel like the mom just talking mad shit to someone's face is pretty embarrassing, I would say.
I wonder if she got comfortable with the cameras and she just went into like real mode and they caught that. Because that's gonna, maybe. I'm assuming people watch it in that area.
Yeah, I don't know what the viewership is. Or maybe they just don't give a shit. Maybe they don't. Like, I don't watch other countries' TV.
Yeah.
Sumit's parents tell Jenny that they are going to call her Sumit's grandmother. And Jenny picked that out.
No.
I am old enough to be his mother, not his grandmother.
Like, super offended. Like, how dare you?
I don't know if that's really working in your favor still, though. I did have a question for you.
What's up?
Do you think it would be different if they were honest about their relationship from the start and not done the whole sneaking off to have sex? And
no, because I just think it's such out of the norm for their culture. I don't think it would be acceptable.
But do you think it'd be any better than Jenny and his mom getting super close, being best friends?
If anything, I think it would be a better chance for his parents to kind of nip it in the butt.
Oh.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have that bond.
Yeah.
Like they do now. So yeah, I would say no, it wouldn't have been better.
Okay. I love when they argue about being calm. We're calm. We're calm. You're not calm. I hate that. Don't tell me to calm when I'm pissed either.
I feel so bad for Jenny in some of these scenes. It's like brutal to watch her just like,
yeah,
just the work mode they put her in, and she's like tired and getting agitated. There's a language barrier. It's a lot to watch.
Sumit's mom says, "I am respecting you. I have not said anything against you." This is right after she just talked mad shit to her face. Jenny then explains how they are happy living apart from them. Sumit's dad asks, "Then what's the point of doing all of this?" In reference to teaching her how to be an Indian wife and an Indian daughter-in-law, kind of the traditional aspect of being married. Sumit then comes in with a gut punch. "It is my dream that we all live together."
I never sensed that from him. Why does he say this now? Have we ever gotten that before?
Not before this season, I don't think. I don't remember him
ever mentioning something even in that regard. To live with his parents.
He always talked about how much he loved his parents. And obviously this whole thing is because his parents don't accept the relationship. But I don't know if he's ever explicitly said it as clear as this of saying, "This is my dream."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been really clear at these episodes. He wants a traditional Indian life. He wants his wife to take care of him. He wants to go have his job. He wants to live with his parents. I don't know if he's ever been that upfront about it before.
It's very interesting that he wants such a traditional living situation, but he's going the most untraditional partner, if you will.
It's strange because he had this. He was married. He had a wife that his mother loved. He had the absolute traditional thing.
The thing in that is that he didn't love her.
So what does he want more? Does he want Jenny or does he want a traditional Indian life?
No, I wonder now if Sumit could have chosen his Indian wife if it would have been better.
Oh, yes, because that was part of the thing, correct?
I think he wasn't arranged in love with her. And
but
she
you
was,
grow in love, is what I hear.
He just wasn't into it. And maybe a part of that was that it was just so arranged, and maybe that bummed him out. And maybe in that process, he actually wanted more power to, you know, to go through the process, to date someone, to choose like his partner. And I think in that instance, he didn't get that chance. So that kind of like rubbed him the wrong way. And then he found Jenny. And it kind of just altered his world.
Why doesn't Jenny believe him when he says he wants the traditional life and wants to live with his parents? In her interview, she says that she doesn't believe him, that he is just saying this to basically please his parents. But he's very clear, and I don't understand why she doesn't believe him, and why does she say that he needs to pick her or his parents? He's clearly already picked, and he's picked his parents over you multiple times.
I don't know. I wonder if in their conversations he's more adamant to do the reverse, right? To not live with his parents, not be sort of
traditional. So do you think he's going back on his words?
I think so.
Or do you think he's just saying this to please his parents?
If he is saying it to please his parents, that's not a good idea, because if anything, that'll make his parents stick around more.
Well, it's going to fuel the wedge even more.
Yeah. And I am
like,
curious,
they're already picking on her. If no, they're know, like, and, oh, this is what he wants as well, we're gonna kick it up a notch.
I'm wondering if the mom is just pushing her to the absolute limit, because this is like her master plan of,
oh, it's definitely,
if I push her to the limit, she will eventually get tired and just leave on her own.
Yeah.
But essentially, I forced her out.
That's what she's going to do. Also, their mom's a liar. Smith's mom's a liar. She says Jenny has an anger inside of her and she was just explaining things with love. No, that was not love. Jenny kind of storms out into the kitchen and she says, I happen to like my kitchen the way I had it. Oh, no. It gives me a panic to think that that's how my house would be and someone would come over. Has anyone pushed back as hard as Jenny on cultural norms? Like, that just refused to assimilate?
Yazan. Yazan and,
He didn't come here.
No, she went there.
But she did wear the hijab around his parents.
Yeah, but...
Okay. A little different. They were only dating, and they were only together for, like, one visit there.
Yeah.
But that's right. Yeah. She's up there with
it. God, what was her name?
Brittany.
Brittany. Okay. Yeah. Yazan Brittany. Okay. That's the one that comes to mind.
This has been 10 years and she will not, like, she's an American and she's not going to follow these.
I'm sure there has been, but just off the top, no, but that is such a long time to be together. That is like a long time to build a relationship. Like a strong relationship, and there's,
but to also not really know the language, not accept the cultural norms. Like, why did you move there if you didn't want to be a part of that culture?
Right. It's almost like I'm here for Sumit, not for everything else.
Yeah. Even though everything else comes with Sumit.
Or like, that's what kind of makes him, right? That's like, that's what made him.
And a big part of that is his parents. I don't know. I'm torn because I'm like, yeah, you can't bully people like that. It doesn't matter. You can't do that. Especially different language. So sad. But at the same time, I'm just like, man, I wish Jenny would.
You know what's interesting, though? We haven't even seen Jenny sort of embrace even the language.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like everyone's giving shit to Corey. It's been 10 years she's been with him, and there's really no language happening. We never see her speak anything. We see when she can pick out words and then, like, gets into an argument, but she doesn't... We've never heard her speak anything. Again, she's really pushing against everything Indian, I feel like. Except the clothes. She likes the clothes.
Can you see this work out in long?
That's what I'm so torn on. I don't, personally.
I can't either.
But I can see her sticking around for another 5 years.
Yeah, I can't either.
But they won't get married.
You don't think so?
No. There's no way.
I mean, he's been putting it off for so long. It's not going to happen.
No. He's had a whole marriage between that time. We see in episode 10 that Jenny is sick with vomiting and diarrhea. Mom said that she could get 3, 4, 5 bouts of diarrhea and still get up. You know, Mom really just likes to talk about how much better she is than Jenny.
I think Jenny's actually sick, but I think more than not, she's just really tired.
I think so, too. I think emotionally, and it was a lot for her, especially if she's just kind of hanging around with Sumit every day.
Yeah. So then
Mom and Dad come into her room.
Oh, I know. This is how it's going to be like if you all live together, Sumit.
Yeah.
So,
and they're always going to talk shit. They're always going to just barge in. No. I wouldn't make it. Like, I would already been out day one. Like, all that shit was just day one. That already happened. This is day two, the vomiting and diarrhea.
Yeah.
Also, vomiting takes it out of me. Definitely. I need to be left alone. They go into a room and they say, it doesn't even look like you're sick.
That's so rude.
It's not something you get to decide. They tell basically her to get up anyway. Go shower.
Yeah,
get ready for the day.
She's like, maybe I'll feel better after a bath. Like, yeah, get in there.
And then the mom, how long is she going to keep us waiting? They do yoga together, and Sumit's mom says, I am much better.
Like, you are older than me, and I could do more than you.
It was, I don't want to say basic yoga, but it wasn't anything like that.
Thoughts?
Again, I don't do yoga, so... This is going off of nothing.
I don't know as far as the what type of level of yoga that was. I don't know. But apparently his mom used to be an instructor, so I'm gonna take her word for it.
Sure. Prove it.
You wanna get into
I was having a hard time with this. I don't do good with gagging or vomit or just the sound.
Never seen this in my life.
Neither have I. So the only thing I knew about like cleaning sinuses is the neti pot, which I felt like was pretty invasive. I've never done it, But holy shit, this is a whole nother level. So you stick this tube, it's like a surgical tube,
yep,
into your nose.
And you pull it out,
of your mouth, which is so gross. Like, can I use a pair of forceps or like some tweezers? Like, I gotta stick my fingers all the way.
Poke something wrong with the tweezer.
In a mirror? No, that'd be so easy. No, just way. Pull it out.
You might poke something wrong with
I'm
that.
Not sticking my hand that far.
God.
Pull it out. So then you have it in place. And then you're essentially flossing your sinuses. Also,
that looks so painful.
That's only a part of your sinus. Your sinus is like various components around like the orbital bone and stuff. So like where it's going isn't even really full sinus action.
It looks so painful.
It looks super painful. They're just gagging. It's awful. They use mustard oil to lube it up. Like it's all things I don't want in my nose. Mm-hmm. So Summit's mom does it first. She's gagging, spitting. It looks awful. It's making me gag. And then, did she give the tube to his dad? Did they use the same tube?
I don't know. I didn't catch that. I saw him washing it at the end.
You mean rinsing it?
Or rinsing it, something. Something was being washed, rinsed.
Whatever. I thought it was the same tube. That can be debated. I don't know.
They both look like they were in pain. So, not something I'm going to try.
The dad looks very in pain. Also, they're all like sweating while doing this and they're just like in a lot of distress. And so the dad does it. He's gagging everywhere, takes it out. He's spitting up blood.
I did read that this is more of an advanced technique.
Yes. And the article we read stated that you should do this after, what is it?
Either like, like consulting a medical professional or something. Yeah.
No, I just can't. Do they do this daily? This can't be good for you if you're doing it daily.
Wouldn't think so.
I need more details. Like, I know, okay, so we did a little research. It is a thing. People do it. It's slightly common, actually, which is weird. But I don't know. The neti pot just seems like it would be so much nicer. You're flushing it. You're getting more areas of the sinus. What is this tube doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it supposed to collect, like, particles in there and then sort of...
Yeah, what is this hollow tube doing?
Yeah, I read at one part that it could be, it could be like a almost like a cotton tube based thing.
Oh, okay.
Part of me is thinking like, what if something gets stuck up there?
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah. I just feel like our nose hairs and the anatomy of our nasal passages and our sinuses, they're designed very well and they're kind of self-cleaning. And when you do get them clogged up or infected, then you can do things, but I feel like just casually shoving things into your nose and mouth and sinuses just can't be good. I don't know. A Westerner over here just looking at it from the outside.
Someone's gonna correct you and be like, it's totally normal. It's been done for hundreds of years.
I mean, I do lots of weird stuff. Like, I fast. I don't even know if that's good for me. Keeps those cows low. But I don't know. We all saw it. We were all traumatized. I don't know how much we need to cover that.
No.
Smith's mom says it keeps you young, and Jenny says she'll just use facial creams, and I'm definitely team facial creams in Decay and J Beauty.
I was hoping she would say, I think I'll just use a neti pot.
Which seems nicer to me. I'm scared of the neti pot.
Why?
But I'm going to be like that 0.000% that drowns myself or something. Oh, like, God. I'm going to aspirate it. I don't trust myself. Moving on from that event. Kenny and Armando. God, Kenny's kids are so good at guilt tripping. It's amazing how they can just slide it into conversation.
Is it kind of killing you?
It's killing me because, you know, I had lots of feelings during the initial time that Cassie came over and he was trying to open up to her. And she just would not allow him to have his feelings and express what he needed to express without interjecting and basically blaming him for the turn in her life that she completely inflicted on herself.
I think you need to let your... You gotta let your parents, like, you know, go to their next phase.
Yes, let them live their life just as you want to be left to live your life.
They do a really good job of guilt tripping.
I cannot stand it.
Be honest. And it kind of puts Kenny in a tough situation because he's already feeling, he's already missing home. It doesn't help.
And he's expressed it. It's not like he's keeping it inside and they don't know when they're being insensitive without knowing. One of the kids says, how do you feel about being a grandpa again? You know, even though you're really far away. Fuck.
Yeah. It's crazy, huh?
Why does that even need to be said? He talks about the big bonding moment between helping raise Cooper every day for three, and he feels that life is marching on without him.
Oh, and then his other daughter is pregnant, and it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, life is continuing, but I wouldn't say moving on without you, and I think it would be really beneficial to him if they made that clear versus being like, yeah, it is moving on. You're really far away. They clarified that they decided to live in Mexico for Hannah. And I saw some split kind of opinions on this on Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about them deciding to live in Mexico for Hannah? Correct choice? Would you do it different?
I can see both sides. You know, Hannah is she's a Mexican little girl. She's grown up a certain way. She's got a lot of family there. Mm-hmm. She's so young that, you know, you're going to move schools that I don't really want to be like, she's got her friends there or whatever, mm-hmm. because I think they're going to move to different types of schools, and especially if they're going to like get her good education, all that good stuff. I can see where Armando might have it's his daughter, right?
Yeah.
He could have a vision of like, this is what I want for my daughter, or this is what I, you know, whether it was with Kenny or not with Kenny, like, this is what I want to see with my daughter, growing up with my family, having these life experiences. And I don't think he probably didn't envision that in America. And it seems like he doesn't want to go. Like, he doesn't have interest in going.
No, exactly.
I
think that, well, sorry, you done with your
thought? No, because, they do that. That's great, you know, that's totally fine. But then Kenny is sort of, he also has very young people in his life.
Yeah.
He's got grandkids. Like, it's almost like different phases, right? Armando, it's his daughter. I mean, it's both their daughters, but you know, it's his daughter and mm-hmm. she's very young. But then he has grandkids and mm-hmm. they're very young. And I'm sure him as a grandpa thought, you know, I want to be in my grandkids' lives.
Okay, it's here's the harder question. Who should make the sacrifice? Who do you feel like should have this burden?
I do side that it should be Kenny, because he sort of already had made the choice of, I'm going down there, you know, for my husband, you know,
yes.
for my family. That's it's almost like it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of ask them to come back with you, or that'd be weird, because like, you're almost like taking that pod away from that family.
Yeah. So that's how I feel. Are you done with your thought? Sorry, I don't know if you're done talking. And I just keep trying to interject.
Well, okay, it's because if they stay, Kenny's sad. He's going to miss his grandkids, miss his family. I get that. Well, if they all go to the States, now Armando and his daughter are missing their family, missing out on those moments. Maybe she has cousins that they would have had a mm-hmm. closer relationship with if they had stayed.
Yeah.
And if they move, you know, maybe those get distant.
So that's where it kind of is for me. So I totally agree with you, and I don't know if there's anyone that should make the sacrifice. I think a component we're not talking about is the culturally, how families are so close in Mexico. And especially having kids around the same age, and they're going to grow up together. And the fact that Hannah's still close with her grandparents... Her mother passed away, and she's still close to that side of the family. And that was important to Armando, that even though, yes, her mother passed, but she can still enjoy her family. I don't know. I think it is important for Hannah to stay there for now. She already moved 4 hours away. And I think that was a big adjustment. Because every single day, she was with her little cousins. Every single day, they were at that little store. Every single day, they were with Grandma and Grandpa. So I hate to say that. I don't think Kenny was the only one that made a sacrifice. Armando and Hannah did as well, to move 4 hours away to somewhere that Kenny would be more comfortable, in a more touristy or traditional American looking place.
A little bit more developed.
Yes. They don't have Kenny moving to the Pueblo and, you know, on the dirt roads and everything like that. So I think that they have made both sacrifices, and I don't want to say Armando hasn't at all. And I think grown kids need their parents too. As we see. I mean, they express it in a different way than I do, but they're essentially saying, I need you. And I can't argue that. That's important. My dad didn't text me within 10 minutes the other day, and both me and my brother called him, and his response was, why are you checking up on me? I was like, because you didn't text me back.
Yeah.
I think of it as payback for my 20s, but...
no matter what,
someone's hurt, no matter what.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose situation.
Okay, but I do have a solution.
All right, I want to hear this.
But no one, they're not going to do it. And I hate that they're not going to do it. The solution is to have Kenny go home sometimes, but his permanent residence be in Mexico. But you go home, you spend a month there during the pregnancy, you go back for a month, you know, as the child's being born. You enjoy that time, and then you either get a timeshare or, I don't know if you can rent like Airbnbs in the area, but you know, the kids can come down. Why can't the kids come down? And why, I mean, Kenny has not gone back yet. Why can't he go back? Is it too painful? Maybe, because then you're just leaving again.
Yeah, the goodbye.
Also, is it bad to be in limbo?
The goodbye is really tough. And for his family to come down versus one person going up, mm-hmm. probably get very expensive.
Well, it doesn't have to be everyone at once, but let's say, you know, Cassie, before she got pregnant, could she come down for a week or two? Which, mm-hmm. I mean, she technically did, but I'm just saying, like, a regular rotation. Of that's my solution, is to not have it be so finite one way or the other. To let it be whatever works for... I don't know. Hannah's so cute. I want her happy.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know... God, this story is so interesting. We haven't even gotten into the whole the dad and the wedding situation.
Yes, that's what is my next note. So you want to just get into it?
Yeah, let's do it, because it's going to be so hard no matter what they decide, and someone's going to lose out.
Yep.
But yeah, let's...
We see the wedding location, and it's beautiful wine country. I didn't know there was a wine country there, and it's gorgeous. Kenny made it very clear that he only wanted one thing for the wedding, and that was a sunset ceremony. I love sunset, so team Kenny. But Mexican weddings are like all night, all day events. So the fact that the planners and Armando are trying to explain that because of COVID, everything has to end by midnight, which is incredibly short for a Mexican wedding. What is that? Sunset's around 7-ish probably at this time.
It's probably, yeah, later in the day.
Yeah. And so to midnight, that's like nothing. In terms of a Mexican wedding, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah.
Do you think Kenny should have given up the one thing he wanted?
Oh my God. These are...
Sorry, I'm giving you many hard questions.
These are really tough questions because, again, somebody has...
Someone's always going to be sad.
Someone has a dream in their mind of what they want the wedding to be like. And hey, maybe a lot of the times it doesn't work out that way exactly.
Yeah.
But to Kenny, it probably seemed like that's an easy thing to make happen. Like, it's mm-hmm. almost like...
I mean, he even mentions, you know, American weddings, that's plenty of time.
It's not something like, oh, I want this certain spectacular sized wedding. It's not even like that where, you know, money could be an issue. It's more of, it's just like time.
Yes.
It's
a timing like thing. The actual hours that we have this venue.
But if you're making this happen, it's COVID time. Say, man, we got to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, you just got to give it up. Just enjoy being, you know, in a nice lighting and good photos.
Yeah.
That's just not the sunset.
I'm all about compromise. So you have your ceremony, but do something sweet for both of you at sunset.
Why can't you take your couple's photos during sunset?
Because you need the golden hour, which is not sunset, is it?
Well, it's like that hour of that whole time span.
I don't know. But I think that you should... I think what could have made this better is one, Armando kind of being more understanding and sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which he admits later, but it did take a little bit of talking about for him to really understand that this was the one thing that he wanted. But I think that they could have had a moment at sunset, and I wish that that's what they talked about, instead of saying, yeah, we're not going to do that. What if we do our first dance at sunset? What if we cut the cake at sunset?
Hopefully, during the wedding, something like that will come to fruition. That would be nice to see.
Also, they're just, like, the best couple, so this isn't going to be, like, a make or break it for them. So, you know, they have to have drama for the show, but they're just so great. But then, broke my heart watching this.
This is so brutal.
Armando gets a message from his aunt saying that his dad is struggling more than what he had led on to Armando. Armando's mom said that his dad is not coming to the wedding, and he's worried to leave the house alone. Dads have great excuses.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want the house to get damaged or robbed or whatever.
Armando did the right thing by personally calling him and saying how important it is to him instead of just saying, well, fuck him, you know?
Right. Or just leaving it up to the slow communication of just back and forth.
Exactly.
Back and forth.
Or like between the mom or, you know, just... Mm-hmm. It was good that he called him directly, but it was so sad to hear his dad kind of go back on what he said. I really thought he was going to go, and I still hold out hope that he will day of, but it's super sad to see, even if he does show up, how shitty it is now and kind of whatever they're going to have to go through to make him come.
Mm-hmm.
Armando said, if he isn't there, I don't want to see him and I don't want to talk to him, which I feel like is understandable. Why? How? What do you talk about? What do you even do after that?
Like, not going to his wedding is almost like not accepting me.
Exactly.
You don't think it's just, it's more of a, it's going to take me so much longer to accept this.
But life is moving on and you're either going to be a part of it or you're not.
Well, then Armando mentions, you know, I'm not going to have another wedding. I'm exactly. not doing this
no,
again.
No, this is forever. Yeah. So it's really sad because I want his dad to be there and support him and to be a part of the family.
You know, his dad has made a lot of strides and I'm holding out hope that we are somehow going to see him at this
exactly.
wedding.
Exactly. Like, day of, he's like, well, I can't miss it.
Yeah.
Mom talks some sense into him or the daughter.
Holding out hope that that happens.
Because it adds such unnecessary strain and energy to a day. We are finishing off with Ellie and Victor, who are not on episode 9, but they were on episode 10. So the kind of current situation that they're in right now is they're spending a week in San Andreas and staying a few days in Providencia. I found Ellie to be super annoying when they arrived to the island. When they arrived to their house on Providencia, excuse me.
How so? Like the cleaning or just
why can't she just be an action person right now? So Victor's going through things. It's probably pretty traumatic to be back. You're seeing everything. You're finally kind of doing things. To just go, these clothes are so wet. They're so wet. What do I do with them? What do I do with this? What do we just stop talking. Like, that would drive me crazy. If I'm trying to kind of put the pieces together mentally and physically and figure out what I need to work on, what do I have, and you're just pointing out these random things that are not helping me.
Did he mention that they don't have a roof over their head right now?
Like, yes, no actual... I think that's what they said. Like, yes, everything's gonna be wet.
Yeah, it's, I can't imagine what he's going through.
Yeah,
to kind of like have to start from a,
I would also be on edge.
Yeah, he's probably still trying to process everything. I mean, not only his home, but just like his family's homes were impacted.
She was not ready to rough it.
But hey, I mean, she's put in a crazy situation too. Like, this must not be easy to be in the situation, considering she had a totally different picture of like, hey, this house is going to be nice, going to be done, we're going to live here together, we're going to be happy.
But she knew before she left.
Yeah, but I think just being there, it's way different.
I agree, but the way she is, I guess, acting and behaving right now is just not helping.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, we have no water. And he's like, why do we not have water? She's like, because we have no water. And he's like, there's water. Why couldn't you just go to the tap and try to open it instead of, like, being all snippy?
I'd agree. I
these clothes are wet. I just can't get over that line. I'm like, of course they're wet. So go hang them up outside.
I couldn't tell if he's actually like this all the time when they're hanging out.
Like an asshole?
Yeah, like I couldn't.
I mean, she did say something interesting, which is kind of a light in. She said, I forgot what of an asshole he can be. Which
that
is,
means before this was bad.
Yeah, before the kind of the hurricane and everything happened, it was bad.
So that was kind of a tell of, this isn't just like an isolated event of maybe he's being snarky at her or whatnot. Like, yeah. It's happened, clearly it's happened before.
I'm just not trying to, like, fix my house and go through this, but also, like, talking about our relationship every 5 minutes. Like, just help me out or don't.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it.
I would have honestly been a bigger asshole than Victor was. How do you feel about her giving money to him as a gift, it sounding like, but complaining the entire time? We talked about this before. I feel like if you give someone money, you don't really have, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah, you just, you did it for the good of your heart, and you
parted with that money.
You blessed the money, and it's gone.
Yep, you wish it well on its trip, on its journey.
And that's all you got. I wouldn't do that. You know, if
you're
giving it, then
that's it.
You know, it's up to you to do what you want with this money.
Yep. If it finds its way back, great. If it doesn't, I gave what I could, and it's not going to make or break me. Maybe she's giving more than she can, which could also be an issue, but that's also not his fault. I don't know. If she had an issue with feeling like she's being used for money, she shouldn't.
I would agree.
That's really all that happened. That might, like, nothing.
No, I mean, it was pretty quick. And I mean, just, it feels like it was really quick. Like, nothing too much. I mean, they're going to start working on the home. Victor is sort of taking the boards off of some of the windows. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a long process.
It's not going to be a couple weeks.
Because, you know, the the infrastructure needs and the services, like, they're just one house of many that just is rebuilding.
That need
and you need resources. You need resources, supplies. Like, it's just going to take some time. And it's not going to be a quick process.
On the next time on, we see Kenny's family arriving in Mexico. Steven is worried that once Alina's back home, she will not want to be baptized anymore. Corey is re-proposing to Evelyn next to a pile of wet sand. It's almost a waterfall. Sumit's mom wants to talk to Jenny alone. Dun, dun, dun.
That's terrible. Why would you talk alone to someone who can't understand you?
But then they bring the dad along to, like, half-translate. It was weird. Ari and Benny meet up in Kenya with Ari's mom. Through tears, Ari says she feels very, very sorry for the life you all. I assume she's going home.
She's like, maybe he's saying no at that moment in time of, like, I'm not going to go with you. And then she's just breaking down.
Yeah.
But spoiler warning, we know he's going to go to America.
Yes, and this is all after that. So something happens. I wonder if they're together now, though. Or did he come for, like, a little bit
that would
and then
be interesting
she was like, no.
I don't know if we can get some details on that.
I'll check Reddit.
Somewhere on the internets.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We really appreciate your grace and letting us put this episode out a bit late, kind of around our travels and crazy life work schedules.
No, definitely. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for checking out the long episodes. You know,
we appreciate it.
The double episodes tend to get a bit long, but you know, we really appreciate everyone checking out and downloading it. It really makes us happy. And everyone tuning in across the world, it's really awesome to see.
Yeah, we have some new international listeners, so it's very exciting to see. Thank you all for listening.
All right, hope you guys have a great day, great weekend. Thank you.
Yes, have a wonderful week. We will be back later this week with another episode of MAFS, and I don't see any issue kind of coming up with us getting 90 Day out on Sunday. It's so funny. We never talked about it, but we will not be covering Family Chantel. I personally don't like the show.
Yeah, it doesn't vibe with us.
I think it's out right now. Like, it's been out for weeks, and yeah,
it's just not our thing.
No. So just a heads up that we won't be covering that, but we'll be covering the new 90 Day coming up, and we'll be finishing up MAFS. So stay tuned for all of that. Thank you so much for listening, for your patience with us. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we wish you the best. Talk to you soon. Bye.